Well, good evening, everyone. Hope your week has been going well. If you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1. I enjoyed those songs. I particularly enjoyed that beautiful name, that wonderful name, the first song we sang. We think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful name. All that is attached to that name. Just as you might have seen me on my phone, the last song there, I was just looking up some of the names of God there. Some of the definitions of the names of God. And yeah, I think it's interesting how God uses some of the different names. He doesn't just have one name, God, a generic name, but he has some of these other names that speak to his character and his power, his might, his holiness. So if you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1, and if you're physically able to, I'd ask that you stand in reverence for the reading of God's word. We're going to pick it up at verse 5 and read to verse 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, what a sad thing to lie and not to have your word in us. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us to be ready at a moment's notice, Lord, to bear our hearts before you, to have you examine us. And Lord, that we'd be ready to hear whatever you have to say, that we would not skew your words with our own thoughts, but that we would take what the Holy Spirit gives us and acknowledge our sin when we are in sin. Lord, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Help us to be like you, that there be no darkness at all. Help us, Lord, to have fellowship with each other, with you. Lord, help us as we think about being cleansed, being forgiven. Lord, what a divine principle about being forgiven, being washed. Speak to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. So we read again verse 5 that he says, this is the message that we're bringing to you and declare unto you that God is light. I should have looked up that word declare. Just now I'm curious, but you know, to declare is, I think there's some degree of emphasis there. It's not just that we're saying this, but we're declaring it. We're declaring it with power, with certainty, aren't we? You think of Christ and how they said that he had authority, not like the scribes, that he spoke with authority. And we can declare and ought to declare. So that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We talked about this before, about that whole, you know, that misconception that in everything there is a little bit of something else. In the darkness there's a little bit of light, the whole yin-yang thing. And when it comes to God, he is absolutely white. He is light. He is holiness. When I say white, you know, I'm not talking about colors of skin. I'm talking about his attributes. He walks in the light. He is absolutely pure, sinless. And not for a moment can we say, oh, well, he's mostly light, but there's just that little circle of darkness. No, verse 5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None. Pure holiness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I've heard so many people say, oh, I'm fellowshipping with God, and yet in the same breath, they're angry with somebody. They're bitter against somebody. They're in sin in some other area of life. We cannot, and we see that later on in the next chapter where it talks about hating your brother. Whatever the case might be, whatever the sin might be, we cannot walk in any degree of sin and say, oh, I'm fellowshipping with God. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're in that situation where we've got that sin, we've just got to acknowledge, no, I'm not. I'm not walking in fellowship with God. I want to be. I really do. That's the attitude we must have if we are in sin. But we ought not to be pretentious and pretend to be something we're not. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's the answer. Walk in the light. And so if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And of course, not just here in our own local assembly of believers, but worldwide we have fellowship. And it's a true fellowship. It's not a superficial fellowship. It's not a make-believe fellowship. It's a true fellowship. But more importantly, we have fellowship with God. Let's think about that perspective of walking in the light. There's a need for consistent, holy living. Consistent. Let's take a look at some verses in the Old Testament. Psalms 89, 15. Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. I think we should probably back up. Verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I believe that's speaking there of the direct context. The joyful sound of mercy and truth, of justice and judgment. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So that's where we're walking hand in hand with a consistent holy living in the light of his countenance, not hiding behind the bushes wearing fig leaves, in the light of his countenance. Take a look, moving forward, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the light of the Lord. Now let's jump ahead into the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, now remember, quite often there's the contrast between righteousness, evil, light, darkness. And so here we've got the contrast. You've got the walking in love, got the contrast, verse 3, but fornication. Let's read verse 2 again. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Notice verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Sometimes, in the past. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Don't go back to what he's saying. That was your past, but don't return to it. Consistent, holy living. Also, when we think about light, walking in the light, part of walking in the light, it requires us to be a shining light. Think about in Matthew where Christ said that in other Gospels, where he said that we are the light of the world. And we're the salt of the earth. We're the light. We're to carry our lights high, not under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so it giveth its light. The shining light of the gospel. It's to be our guide. The light is to be our guide. It'll keep us from falling. We're to walk in love and forgiveness. Going back now into the book of 1 John, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I mentioned a moment ago, walking with the light as our guide. If we're walking in darkness, we can't see. The darkness blinds our eyes. And isn't it interesting how he uses that phrase? Because normally you think about bright lights blinding your eyes. Like if you're staring up at the sun without proper protection. Or if you're doing some welding. Brother John was doing some welding for me, and it was a couple of times where he started welding before I realized it, because he had lifted up his hood, and so I lifted up mine, and next thing you know, he's whipped his head to the side, closed his eyes, and he's hit his gun, and then I was like, ah! and I fortunately didn't get any welder's flash. But normally, you kind of associate bright light as something that might hurt your eyes. But the darkness can blind us. And particularly spiritually speaking, if we're walking in darkness, in spiritual darkness, we're blind. We cannot tell the truth from a lie. So when Satan slips us a lie, we're like this, oh, here it is. And we can't even see what it is. We've got no spiritual discernment. And if we are in sin, we can't think that we're going to find our way out on an alternative path. You think about Pilgrim's Progress, when either Christian and Faithful was Christian and Hopeful was the first one, right? Hopeful was the first companion, and then Faithful the second one. If they went down a path, the wrong path, they had to backtrack. They had to go right back to the very junction. And if we fall into sin, we can't just aimlessly try to find our way. We got to go back to the light. Go back where we know the light is. Confess sin, go back to the path, get back on it. Because we're in darkness. But notice also here is walking in love and forgiveness. Walking in love. Now, why would a person hate a brother? He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Why would a person hate a brother? And of course, you know, it's not necessarily just your own biological brother. You know, it could be a brother in Christ. But why would a person hate another person? Usually it's because of some wrong or perceived wrong that person has done against you. And you know, that's one of the great advantages of living the crucified Christian life, is that we start to lose the sense of entitlement, the sense of injustice. Well, this person has wronged me. We start to go, it doesn't matter. What? I'm nobody. I'm a vessel. I'm nobody. It doesn't matter if they've wronged me. If they've wronged me, they've wronged Christ. And now that's between them and God. I mean, yes, there might be things that we need to deal with on a human basis so that we can actually have a relationship between each other. But I don't have a right to hold a vendetta, to hold something against that person. So usually it's some sort of injustice that they've done against us. Perhaps it's, you know, we don't like their personality, or they kind of clashes with ours. Perhaps it's something, you know, some that they're popular and we're not, and hopefully it's not that vain. But whatever the case might be that would cause a person to hate, we have no right to hate. And instead, we just have to forgive them, walk in love. Walking in love and in the light go hand in hand. And a genuine love, not just a spiritualized love. I've told you before, I've heard people say, they've told me, oh, I love the people of this church or that church, but I don't like those people. And they're trying to tell me that they love them from a spiritual perspective, but they don't like them. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. My duty, your duty, is to love each other, to seek to help each other, to bear each other's burdens, to forgive others, even when they are categorically wrong. If that be the case. So walking in love and forgiveness. Also, walking in the light speaks of the armor of God. Take a look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. The armor of light. So Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Well, back up to verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That really ties in well with what we just read there from 1 John 2. Now, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You notice there it says that, there's great truths in this verse, a number of great thoughts. Notice there that knowing the time, that it's high time to awake out of sleep, that speaks to the fact that we're mortal. We have so little time on earth to accomplish God's bidding. And so there's no time for spiritual slumber. It's to be vigilant for our own spiritual protection and vigilant to get out the gospel and the various things of the Christian life. Now, notice that phrase there, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You've heard Pastor Val Sr. talk about how he's looking forward to glory and every day is a day closer to heaven. Well, remember, salvation is, there's two parts to our salvation. There's the moment that we are sealed when we trust Christ as our Savior. And then there's the day of redemption when we get our glorified body. And I believe that's what he's speaking of here, where we now have our glorified body. We're now on the other side. We're born again. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, repented of being a sinner, you're born again. You are already seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But there is that day when it's completed. We have the earnest of the Holy Spirit, kind of like the earnest money, a down deposit. But then we're going to have our complete salvation. So for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Every day, it's closer. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast off. Doesn't that speak of something? It isn't just say put away, put down. Cast off the works of darkness. As repulsive. Cast them away. Cast them off. As something not to pick up again. They go into the refuse, into the garbage bin. So let us put on the armor of light. Now let's just jump ahead just to take a look at the spiritual armor for some context. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And boy, is he ever a wily one, isn't he? So we got to put on that whole armor. Not part of it. You know, I've mentioned before, how I had been friends with two of the Marathorpe police officers that got killed there a while back. There was some talk, I'm not sure if it was actually the case, but there was some talk that they had taken off their vests and had put them aside. They were on a long kind of stakeout, and maybe they got hot or whatever, I don't know. But I don't know if it's completely true or if it was just a supposition, but that they had taken off that armor. And there's been certainly many cases I've read about in the military where men have gotten hot, overheated, they've taken off ballistic vests, and the next thing you know, they get hit and they're killed. And when we're wearing the armor of God, it's the whole armor. You don't pick and choose. So verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now notice that, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So often, we look horizontally at people as our enemies. And we look at this person has wronged me, they're my enemy. That's the human tendency. Whereas we need to look beyond them. They're a puppet. You don't get anywhere shooting at puppets. We look to the puppeteer. Who's the puppeteer in that situation? It's Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember our previous text there in Romans 13, verse 12 said, and let us put on the armor of light. When we're walking in the light, we wear the armor of the light. Okay, let's go back into our text. Let's read verse 7 again. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We're cleansed. We're cleansed from all sin. Try to picture in your mind what it was like. Maybe you were in some sort of a situation where you needed to get decontaminated from something. You know, dealing with a situation just a couple days ago, and our paramedics were exposed to some sort of a chemical, and the patient had chemical on his clothing, and there was a need to be decontaminated so that there would not be further exposure, further risks to others. I think of when I used to work on a hog farm. The smell of the pigs permeates every part of you. In particular, it sticks in your hair. And I would have to wash my hair with vinegar to get the smell out. And even then, I'd come home and family would still say I smelled like the pig barn. You know, after having a long shower and trying to use things like vinegar to get that smell out. Think about it, spiritually speaking. We are dirty, disgusting, vile sinners. We need a cleansing. Of course, that cleansing comes the moment of our salvation. And then day by day, as we fall into temptations and snares, we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed of our sins. You think of that beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that list of sins, and then the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of God, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You could probably think of some times in your life, I know I can think of times where I arrived somewhere and I was, maybe I had biked somewhere, or, you know, like there's been times where I've biked to work and the headwind was coming against me such that I did not get to work as early as I'd hoped. And I didn't get a shower in. And so there I am on the ambulance, feeling dirty and sweaty, and, you know, and I'm trying to be professional. And, well, spiritually speaking, we have to be cleansed. Let's take a look at a couple of passages in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, washed us, cleansed us from our sins in his own blood. Going to Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. As I was preparing this, I was just marveling both at this verse here and also verse 9 about the forgiveness that Christ offers us. Being cleansed, being forgiven. And you know, it's not until we have a true appreciation of our sin that we have a true appreciation of the cleansing that Jesus Christ gives us and the forgiveness. Because if we think to ourselves, well, you know, I'm not really that bad. I got a little bit of dirt under my fingernails. That's about it. If we have that kind of an attitude, then we don't value what Christ did on the cross nearly as much as we should, do we? We're just like, well, that was really nice. I'm really so thankful that he died for me. And that's kind of like it. But as we become to realize just how sinful we were prior to salvation and the continued sin that we still struggle with, we come to realize what Christ did for us, how he died for us, so that we could be forgiven, so we could be cleansed. It's a reality check. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We won't go into the Pastor Paul Sr. has gone through the book of Revelation in great detail, but looking just primarily at this, having their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's every single believer. We're cleansed. Okay, going back into our text, 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Just got to be so careful that we don't ever say, no, I don't have any sin. Instead, what we aim to say is, well, at this point in time, I have a clear conscience between me and the Lord. That, I mean, we don't go about boasting and making proclamations like that, normally speaking, but you know, there's the whole goal is that we have a clear conscience between us and the Lord. We never say, oh, I've got no sin, because we're surrounded by sin. Psalms 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every successive generation is born in sin, with a sinful nature, propensity to sin. The truth is not in us. Now let's notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to have to stop here in a little moment, but I wanted to tell you some of the meanings of that word, forgive, and something interesting I found as I was digging into this. So the word forgive, from Strong's Concordance, means to send forth, in various applications, cry, forgive, forsake, lay aside, leave, let. And it means like let alone, omit, put, send away, remit, suffer, yield up. Let me read you some verses here. You can turn there, or I'll just read them to you. Matthew 4, verse 20, speaking about the sons of Zebedee. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4:22, a couple verses later. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. That word left is the same Greek word. They left their ship. They left their nets. And as we think about that in the light of the word forgiven or to forgive, I think that's where we have to leave things. We'll take a look in a moment just for a refresher, but Psalms 103, where our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are left. They are dumped. They're dumped aside. Now that, of course, happens when we get right with God. Our sins prior to salvation are all dumped in one big mass dump. And then as we sin and confess them, the Lord keeps casting them off. Matthew 13:36, then Jesus sent the multitude away. Those two words. He sent the multitude away. Sent away. That's what God does. When he forgives us, he sends our sins away. And so when we think about how that's how what Christ does for us, and in the context of 1 John 1 and chapter 2, about walking in the light, loving our brother, doesn't that tell us something about how we are supposed to leave things? Send them away? Send away the hurt, the anger, the bitterness, those things that well up inside of us? Matthew 9:14, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Suffer, same word. You know, and there it's speaking of like allowing them, right? Allow the little children. In Matthew 19:27, same chapter, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Forsaken. Letting it go. Remember, that's one of the meanings of forgive. Lay aside. Send forth. Let's take a look at Psalms 103. I was just reading this one in my devotions this morning. We'll pick it up at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Aren't you so thankful for that? Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Well, we don't know exactly how many light years away heaven is, the physical abode. But that does give us some idea, because it's not hovering right over top of us. It gives us some idea about his mercy, doesn't it? So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Well, there's a condition. Like many things in scriptures, there are conditions. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And while we're in Psalms, this is back up to Psalms 32. David praying for forgiveness. Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and is in whose spirit is there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, to know that we have been forgiven at the moment of our salvation, and that if we sin and confess it, that God will forgive us. Cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think on? I encourage you to think on the matter of forgiveness. I've been reveling, if you will, or, you know, standing back in amazement at the forgiveness that God offers us. And as we know from Scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and many other places, that if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. And so we obviously have to extend his forgiveness to others that have wronged us. And people wrong us all the time. For some people, they're seriously wronged. And they're seriously hurt. Other people, maybe not so much. But at some point in time, everyone is wronged. And we've got to be able to let it go. We've got to be able to say, Lord, I extend your forgiveness to them. Lord, would you do a work in their heart? Draw them to yourself. Draw them to a state of repentance. Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us to walk in the light. Lord, that we would consistently walk in holiness, that we'd walk in your sight as with you as the example, with your word as the pathway. Lord, we pray that you help us in the matter of being cleansed. Lord, getting the dredges of sin off of us. And Lord, we're so thankful that you do forgive. You're plenteous in mercy, ready to forgive. If we but come to you with a genuine heart, seeking forgiveness. And Lord, for those that wrong us, Lord, we pray that you would help us to have a forgiving spirit towards them. No matter who they be, co-workers or family members or neighbors, whoever they are, Lord, help us to give forgiveness to them. As we see Stephen being stoned, asking you to forgive those that stoned him, Christ on the cross, so many others, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk in the light, walk in love, have love one for another. We ask that you'd help us as we go to prayer now. Lord, just remind us of those requests we need to bring before you. In Jesus' name, amen.